Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
If you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to talk about maintaining a soft heart. And in, we'll start with verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Hallelujah. That's good right there. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life." Now, verse 23, I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible. I got it written down here. It says, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard." So he puts a lot of emphasis on guarding. "For out of it flow the springs of life." Tonight I want to talk about guarding the heart. Your heart should be soft, pliable. The ground, it's like you're going to put seed into the ground, or a farmer's going to plant. The first thing he's going to do, he's got to plow up the hard ground for the ground to do what? To receive the seed. And one of the things we'll have to guard against is having a hard heart. Because listen, a lot of us have been in this gospel, or the full gospel way, let me put it that way, for a number of years. You have to be careful. You have to watch that you don't harden to some, like Pastor's been talking about seed time and harvest. Well, Pastor Chuck, I've heard about that. I know about it. I got books on that. Yeah. Well, hold on a minute. Yeah, you may know about it. We teach on a lot here. But the minute you decide or you approach a message, say Pastor Mark's preaching on seed time and harvest, and I come in and I say, well, I say to myself, well, I heard that, and I don't really pay attention to the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word, that is a hardening because of my attitude. In other words, I'm not allowing God to do a work in me because I'm preventing that light, that revelation. See, listen, you may have the seed in you, but you may need more revelation. There's been many a time I heard a certain message, and I've heard it, and I've heard it, but then all of a sudden I'd hear it, and then revelation come. Yeah. That's because I was open to the Word. In other words, I had my heart in a position to receive. A hard heart will not receive. It won't receive the seed. It won't receive the water. Remember, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos waters." So there's watering, there's planting, and there's revelation. There's light that comes from the Word of God. So we have to watch it. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. We have to watch it that we don't be hardened. Listen, we're going to read. Don't ever say, well, that can't happen to me, because I want to prove it to you. It can. Mm-hmm. Anytime you get to the point, well, okay, that don't apply to me. But hang on, because you that is pride. And that right there is a form of rebellion. And that right there, and rebellion, pride, and a hard heart all tie in together. Amen. 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 God's word is so rich. I don't ever want to get to the place that I think that I've arrived and I don't need more revelation and light on a subject. I've been in this too long, and I've gotten too many revelations from sitting right there hearing the gospel preached. I've had it happen to me too many times. I already know it, but I still have to watch it. Amen. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. And let's get started. There's a phrase that this writer is going to use, and he repeats himself over and over again because he's trying to get a point across. Let's say Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. And it says, therefore, are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, now he's quoting now Psalms 95. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, you know, it already tells me right here, we have a choice. He said, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. So it's already a choice right off the bat. If you will hear his voice, here it is, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now, he's not talking about knowledge. They had knowledge. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, they all heard the word preached. Okay, they knew what God said. But here he says, they don't know my ways. Verse 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort, here it is, now listen, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now skip on over to chapter 4, verse 7. It says, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, as such as a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice and not harden your hearts. Do you see that? Anytime something's repeated like that in over a page and a half, within two pages, the same phrase, God is trying to get our attention. Four times he's got this phrase, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, it must be pretty important, right? Go back to, he said that four times. Now, go back to verse 13. It says, we are to exhort. He said, but exhort one another, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another, how often? Daily. Daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The word harden, I got it written down. It means to make stubborn, to make callous and unfeeling. You ever have a callous on your hand or you burn yourself, that you seared your skin, you lose all feeling, pretty much. I mean, you could do things with it. I remember we used to go without our shoes. I mean, not only talking about once or twice, I mean, it was like lifestyle in summertime.
Right.
What happens? Your feet get callous. In other words, I can walk on the rocks. Wouldn't even faze me. That's why it means hardened. In other words, your heart becomes hardened. You have no feeling. There's no sensitivity for his way. You may have knowledge, but listen, I heard Kenneth Hagin say this long, well, I'm kind of jumping the gun. Well, I'm not going to say that just yet. But we would walk, we would play and play ball in our without any shoes on, and I could run across the rocks. It wouldn't faze me a bit. That's how we lived. So the word hardened means to get to a place you're callous, you're hardened, and you don't feel. There's no feelings. And that's where we don't want to be in our Christian life, saints. We want a soft, pliable heart that is very sensitive to His way. See, it all started back in the garden, remember? Adam and Eve, they made a decision to go against God's word. In other words, they knew what God said, right? Adam and Eve, they knew what God said. But listen, you could say this, they hardened to what God said. In other words, they hardened themselves against what He said and gave in to what the devil said. Mm-hmm. And that's why He says here, this phrase, through the deceitfulness of sin. That's exactly what happened. It is deceitfulness of sin. Satan got a foothold in this earth. And Jesus, of course, God has sent Jesus, the second Adam, to redeem us. But the point I'm trying to make is that form of rebellion is still in the earth. Right. And there is the deceitfulness of sin. We have to watch this and not harden ourselves against what God has already said. If He said something, we need to, hey, listen, I got to stay with this. I got to be sensitive to what He said. I got to harden myself against Him. I got to resist Him. Amen. Amen. And this, you know, that rebellion and hardness go together. Mm-hmm. It does. It goes together. You see it even in little kids. That it's just in the fallen nature, the first Adam. Mm-hmm. It's still here. Yeah. I sit. You know, we had our grandkids over, been a while back, but Hallie, you know, she's just starting to talk, you know. And one of her first words is, no, no. I said, no, Hallie, now don't be doing that. You'd be nice. No, no. What's up with that? Beth's not here, so she's taking after Mom. It was. It might have been a little bit later. I don't know. It might have been that same night. Probably had them all there at the house. Then here comes little Mason. He's not walking. I guess he's walking now. He was crawling, and he saw Hallie, and he's booking it. He's on all four, crawling, and he's on warp speed towards Allie, and he's all smiles. But Allie sees him coming. And she's got toys in her hands. She's got all kinds of stuff. And the first thing she says is, she sees him coming, and she goes, no, no. In other words, I'm not going to share. That's just in him. Yeah. And saints, listen, we have to watch it too. We have to watch it too. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you can live walk to walk, talk to talk for months and had, you know, everything's going perfect and everything's going good. Then all of a sudden you start yielding to your flesh. You know, the Bible says, it talks about the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Okay. You're going along good. You're walking by faith, walking in love, and all of a sudden flesh kind of comes up and you yield to it. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to, but, you know, it does happen. Yep. Well, I'm saying if that's not corrected and you keep doing the same thing over and over, eventually they start to harden. Because we still live in flesh. So the best thing to do if you mess up is to repent. You know, start fresh. Right. Don't take it lightly. Right. Oh, Pastor Chuck, come on. You know, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin a long time ago. He said this. Of course, it didn't make a bit of sense to me. He said, you never go against your voice of your conscience. Yeah. Never go against it. If your conscience is bothering you, do not go against it. Don't brush it off to the side and say, well, everyone else does it. Listen, if your conscience is bothering you, that's a good indication. Just don't do it.
Right.
He said this, he said, and of course I've heard it many times since then, but he said, what happens if you don't obey that voice? Eventually, your conscience won't convict you. In other words, it's like being seared with a hot iron. He said, I don't bother me anymore. Yeah. What did it one time? Because you were sensitive. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of times, you might have been in the full gospel message for years. And then the Lord starts, we don't arrive all at once. God takes us level by level. We're always going forward, but we're also going forward and upward. So God's taking your further and further. Now you're at another crossroads. He's saying, okay, listen, I don't want you doing that anymore. Oh, it's not a sin. I don't want you doing it anymore. But hold it now. It will be sin now if you... Now, see, I'm giving you light, son. I want you to come up higher. But you're going to leave the garbage down here. I want to bring you up. I want to take... You know, a lot of times, you know, listen, there's paths that the Good Shepherd leads us on. And I know in my heart there's times, and you have to be obedient to this, and I know it's not just me, it's everyone. He'll take you off that same path that you were on. In other words, I want you to take this path with me because I want, this is a new path for you, but I want to bring you up a little higher. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a new path doesn't mean you shouldn't go on it. I'm leading you on a higher, off the beaten path. I got another path for you to take. I want you to go on this path. What's he doing? He's wanting to lead us higher. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we have to be obedient to that. Right?
Yeah.
And not disregard it.
Yeah.
If there's something in our lives that's holding us back and he's wanting to take us up higher, we got to let go of it and take it very seriously.
Right.
It could be a bad habit. Oh, we'll be talking about bad habits now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. You know, I heard Kenneth Hagin say this a long time ago. He said, I don't like anything. I don't want my body telling me anything. He was drinking, a soda. And nothing wrong with sodas. I drink them. I'm not saying. But if the Lord's telling you this, you got to stop it. But anyway, the Lord told Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, the Lord didn't say this. Let me back this up. His conscience bothered him. He was drinking a soda every single day. He would stop at a certain place, get a soda, and he came to the point. I'm just paraphrasing this. I just remember bits and pieces of it. And he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want my body telling me what to do. I'll tell my body what to do, but my body's not going to tell me what to do. So he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. So he stopped drinking whatever it was, drinking a Coke or whatever it was, every single day. Now, I'm sure he's drunk Cokes since then. The point I'm trying to make is if your conscience is telling you to stop doing something, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. He said, Kenneth Hagin also said this. He said, it's the start. It's not start, but he said it's growing up. That's the part of growing up. You're listening to your voice, to the voice of your spirit man, in your spirit man, and the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit man. So you could say the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're not going to battle over that, but I'm just saying, listen to your conscience. Paul said this. He said, we holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. So he just tied in your conscience with your faith. So it tells me if I don't listen to my conscience, then it's going to affect my faith, because I've hardened an area on my heart. Instead of my heart being soft and sensitive to His voice, I've just seared it. I'm starting to. You hear what I'm saying? So faith and your conscience are going to be tied together. And you start going against your conscience. I'm repeating myself, but I got to get it across. You start going against your conscience, you're going to affect your faith. We have to have a heart that's soft and tender before the Lord. Listen, I want to be able to receive everything the Lord has for me, but I also want to be able to give everything the Lord tells me to give out. It works both ways. It's not about all just receiving. There's just as much giving out. If I'm just receiving, 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 there has to be a giving out sooner or later. I want to be very sensitive in the giving part, especially when it comes, in all areas. I mean, all areas. And in my finances, Pastor Mark talked about finances. I'm very sensitive. I want to be sensitive. I want to know. I'm always looking for areas to sow into, not to get money back. I just don't do that. I just don't. That's not my motive. I'll just be honest with you. I do not give just to get. But there is seed time and harvest. You're not going to get away from it. But the motive is to be a blessing. The motive is to advance the kingdom. The motive is the kingdom of God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Now, where are we at? Let's see. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 8. Because when you become callous in any area, like I said, it's going to affect your heart, and you become a candidate for a certain type of ground that you don't want to be. See, at one time, listen, I've seen it. I've seen it, saints. I've seen people who are good ground. Their heart was soft, pliable. And I'm not talking about anyone in this church, but I've just seen it. But over a period of time, just like I talked about before, things hardened. And I could see it. It hardened. And it wasn't long they were out, because they made the wrong decisions. Other words, what I'm talking about is you become a candidate for the wayside, the hard ground. That is not God's purpose for anyone to be a ground that's hard. Your design, your heart is designed to produce. In order for your heart to produce, it cannot be hardened. It will not produce. The seed on the hard ground, let's just go ahead and read it. I picked Luke 8. We could go Mark 4 or Luke 13. But Luke 8, 12, it says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes. In Matthew's account, we know the devil comes immediately, right? Comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who they have heard receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. But now the ones that fall upon the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out, are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit. Now listen, every one of these grounds are not producing. They may spring up, but as far as fruit, they're not producing. There's only one ground that's going to produce. And that's going to be the ground that the seed can fall into. It's only going to be the ground that's been broke up. It's only been the ground that's been soft. It's only going to be the ground that the seed could go and penetrate down in. Amen. Because the wayside, what happens to the seed? It just lays there. Other words, the ground is not able. The seed has no value to that ground. It cannot penetrate it. It just lays there. Eventually, the fowls of the air pick it up. Amen. Does that make it? Of course, we've heard this. We probably won't get the picture, right? But the good ground. Let's read what the good ground is. The good ground. The ones that fall on the good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now I've got another translation here. It says, the good hearts sees the word, hold fast no matter what, sticking with it. Say, stick with it. Stick with it until there's a harvest. Isn't that good? Let me read that again. Good ground. What does it do? It will seize the word. It will hold fast to the word no matter what. No matter what the circumstances, it'll hold it. It'll hold fast. It'll stick with it until there is harvest. The rest of the accounts say 30, 60, or 100 fold. We're after the 30, 60, 100 fold. That's good ground. Amen. Now turn with me, turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. Are you there? Amen. And it says, we'll go to verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. It's kind of like the sower sows the word, and the seed went on to the hard ground. The hard ground, or even the rocky ground, did not profit from the seed. In other words, there was no value there. There was no connection there. The ground did not seize the opportunity. The seed was there. The opportunity for breakthrough, the opportunity for that seed to grow and mature was there. But since the top or that place was hard, there's no connection. And not being, it says, and goes on, it says, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, there's a teaching in that. I'm not going to get into that. But the point I'm trying to make is it didn't profit them because they left it lay on the top. In other words, they didn't give heed. A hard heart doesn't want to listen. You get that? I'll show you something. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to show you something. A hard heart doesn't want to listen. A hard heart is tied into rebellion. In first Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26, And of course, they just came back from scouting, bringing back fruit from the land. And they said it was in verse 25, the last part. It says, "And it was a good land which the Lord has given to us." Verse 26. "Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled." See, he's talking about the first generation. He said, "You wouldn't go up. It was there. It was your land. I've already said it. I've already spoken it to you. It was your land." But he says, "You wouldn't go up." But it says they rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And not only did they rebel not going up, they complained. In verse 27. So you want to mess up your garden, this is one way to do it. When you don't listen, you rebel. When God says do this, I don't want to do that. Not only do you don't want to do it, you start complaining. Verse 27, they complained in their tents because the Lord hates us. He brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Now see, that was far from the truth. He is a loving father. He is wanting to take them to the promised land. A hard heart is not listening. They don't know his ways. They know what he's saying, but yet they don't. They want to do it their way. You can't do it your way. You got to do it God's way. Anytime you go against the grain, what God says, you're going to get in trouble. And look at this. In verse 43, I think that's what it is. Verse 43, "So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord." They rebelled. See, they wanted to go back up again. See, once the Lord told them, I must have missed something. The Lord told them, I guess it's in verse 41. Verse 40, it says, "But as for you, turn your journey to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And they answered and said to me, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now they want to fight. "Now we will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded." And then in verse 43, the Lord says, "Tell them not to go up." It's like every time the Lord tells them to do something, they do just the opposite. Go left, well, I'm going to go right. Go straight, well, I don't know about going straight. I'll just stay here. No matter what the Lord told him to do, it's like, I'll do it my way. Right? Yep. That's what he's saying. Rebellion. A hardened heart. And God only put up with that so long. Turn with me to Proverbs 29. Because it's like Pharaoh, I mean, you read his account, and he hardened his heart over and over and over and over. I mean, he would say, "Okay, I'm going to let you go. You go do it." Then he'd change his mind. He hardened his heart. I think it was like 15 or 17 times he hardened it over and over. See, God has got a second chance, third chance. But there came a time, and that was it. And it wasn't because God destroyed him. He destroyed himself. Verse 29, it says, let's see, I got this written down. Verse 29, it says, this is God's word. It says, "A person who will not bend after many warnings will suddenly be broken beyond repair." Well, that's the Pharaoh. Verse 1, I'm sorry. In the ESV version, it says, he who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing." Now, that's pretty stern. But he's trying. That's what a hard heart will do. I mean, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you open yourself up. Now, I don't have it written. I thought I had it written down. And anyway, in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 1, verse 19. We all know it. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But the next verse says, but if you refuse, now I'm not saying if you just refuse one time, God's going to whack you. We know that, right? But you open yourself up. God doesn't really have to. You open yourself up to the enemy. He goes on and said, I'm paraphrasing it. But he said, if you refuse, you'd be, and in one translation, I think, you'd be killed by the sword. Or the enemy sword, I believe is what it says. In other words, God's not doing it, but the enemy will. Just because of obedience. Because you're in a place, I didn't tell you to go. You just open yourself up. Does that make sense? So, I want to have a sensitive heart. I want to know, if God's saying this, I want to be very sensitive to what he's saying. Because the Bible says, you know, we know that my sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. But if your heart is hardened, it's going to be harder for you to hear it. Because you're in rebellion, disobedience, unbelief. It all ties in together. Saints, we don't want to have a hard heart. We don't want that. What do we want, Pastor Chuck? We want a soft heart. Turn with me to, we'll wrap this up. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, hallelujah. I know it's maybe a little boring, but hallelujah. Ephesians 4:26. Okay. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole still no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, rage, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, so it says here, first of all, give no place to the devil. And it says, don't grieve. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. Now, verse 31, if we allow these things which we're about to read, if we allow bitterness, it says, let all bitterness, rage, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away. If we don't, saints, if we don't put away bitterness and all these is anger and clamor, if we don't put it away, what happens? It gives the devil a foothold. You give him place. Then, not only that, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And number three, these things, verse 31, these things, saints, will harden your heart. You allow these things in because they all have a root system in themselves. I guarantee it. Listen, and it'll start choking out stuff. At one time you might have had a good garden. I'm talking about the heart. But if you start allowing weeds, you start allowing bitterness and anger and rage and all these things, strife, these things will start to take over. Have you ever pulled up a weed? Especially, there's certain types of weeds that are just root bound. Crabgrass. I mean, you pull up, it's like it wants to take up whole area. You pull it up, It's like it wants to take the whole section. The root system is unbelievable. A weed. You don't have to plant it. But if you allow these things in, what's happening is you're affecting your ground. It becomes hard. Well, Pastor Chuck, how do we get a soft heart? Let's read on. It says in verse 32, now this is what we want. This is it right here. Be kind. See, it really boils down to a decision. You yield to the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. This is walk in love. I'm telling you, you want to keep a heart that's pliable? Walk in love. Kenneth Hagin talked a lot about this. He gave a lot of credit. Walking in love. You want to energize your faith? Go to, just meditate on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. All, you know, what love is. Meditate on that. If you want your faith energized, it'll energize because faith worketh by love. Amen. So listen, when we walk in love, that is really practicing. When you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you're actually practicing, and you're breaking up the hard ground. You're keeping everything loose. You're keeping everything pliable. The Bible says God, well, it's James and Peter, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So the more I can decrease and allow him to increase, humble myself before him, keep my heart humble, then that allows grace to come into my heart, my life. See, we're talking favor. We're talking grace. I'm telling you, this. I think it's a key to victory. It is a key. One favor from God on your life can equal 20, 30 years of you working, laboring with the sweat of your brow. Just one act of favor. And the Bible talks about his grace is abounding, grace abounding towards us. The grace is coming, but we have to make sure we're in a place to receive that grace. Grace has to be received. Well, how you receive grace? Well, the Bible's pretty plain. It's by faith. In order for your faith to work, you're going to have to make sure you're walking in love. If I'm not walking in love, then it shuts the whole flow off. Come on. And not only that, if I'm not walking in love, that means I'm in disobedience. That means I'm in some type of rebellion here because I'm not listening to God. And that's causing a hardness in my heart. Now I got some issues just because I'm not being obedient to his word. See, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, learn of my ways. Right? They wouldn't learn. They had their way, rebellious way. Saints, we don't want that. You know, I got close. David said this. He said, and I think it's Psalm 37. He said, Delight yourself in the Lord. Well, that word delight means to be pliable. Make yourself pliable. Make yourself soft. Delight in Him. Well, how you do that? I delight in Him. I just go to Him and start praising Him. In other words, I'm making myself pliable. I'm making myself soft by going into His presence and spending time in His presence, spending time in His Word. I delight myself in Him. What am I doing? I'm actually cultivating my ground, the heart, to make it pliable. You look that up in the Hebrew. Your delight means to be pliable. When you're pliable, then God can... The Bible talks about this. He says that we are to be molded or conformed to the image of His Son. So the more pliable that we are, the softer we become, I'm talking about tender-hearted, the more He can do in you. Does that make sense? In other words, He can start molding you. You spend time with Him, He'll put you on His will. He is a master craftsman, and He'll begin to mold you. Why? Because you're soft. And He'll begin to put a little pressure on you. It may not feel real good, but He's molding you. You're allowing Him to craft you, to mold you into the image of His Son, to be Christ-like. So, but He can't do that. Listen to me. He can only work with a soft clay. Can He work with something that's hard as a rock? Have you ever seen a potter put clay on the wheel that's like a rock? He won't do it. That thing's set in its ways. He wants the soft. A master potter can work with the soft clay. A soft heart says, you know, not my will, Lord, but Your will. That's what Jesus had. Jesus said, you know, He had to come to a crossroads, but he said, you know, not my will, but Yours be done. That's exactly where we need to be. No matter what comes at us, we don't want to harden ourselves. We want to stay sensitive. Father, it's Your will. You're the master craftsman. You got me in this position. I just remain soft. And the thing of it is, it goes on to say, those people who are soft, those people who are pliable, it says He gives them the desires of their heart. It's not the hard-headed people. It's not the people that are stubborn and rebellious. He can't work with them. It's only the people that are soft, that are workable, that delight themselves in Him, who enjoy walking and talking and learning of Jesus. And there's been every time God tells us to do something, there's always a benefit. See, this seems like it. There's always benefits. Oh, they're suffering. That's a whole nother subject, but I'm just saying, it pays. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.